Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. What a weird rainstorm. Get ready to leave the western estate. And it was like somebody was throwing buckets of water against the side of the house. There was no, you know, like there's that pre-storm where it sprinkles. It just went full monsoon right out of the gate.
Totally. I got out of the shower and I went, wait, is that lightning?
It's bizarre. if you're planning on anything this morning, you shouldn't. You should just stay in your house and hover and cover yourself until this is over.
Travel time suddenly went way down.
Well, it's weird. I mean, traffic was bad, but it wasn't as bad as it normally is when it drizzles.
Yeah.
Because drizzle is, as Mary Vandeville will tell you, drizzle will slow this city to a halt.
Some of these storms are dropping 2 inches of rain very quickly in an hour. So that gives you an indication of why that traffic's slowing down. More than a sprinkle.
Well, someone go check my basement, please.
Oh, boy. All right, let me swing by.
They've issued a significant weather advisory, which I find somewhat interesting. Did
Wait
you see
a
this,
second.
Steve?
What's the difference between severe and significant?
Significant, it tracks the thunderstorms, but it also includes the lake, which makes me think of the race to Mackinac, which I wonder if that's going to affect any sort of prep work that they're going to be doing today.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Because then they usually have a gale force warning, so you can't go on the
There was some cool lightning over the lake this morning.
It was really nice.
Yeah. Did you watch some of that?
I did. I saw it. It was really cool. But yeah, the lightning was insane.
So, Steve, we'll keep an eye on any significant weather alerts.
Anything significant or even close to being insignificant, we'll watch it. All of it.
That'd be funny if there were. This is an insignificant weather alert.
Isn't it funny?
We'll cover it all.
I feel like I missed all the fun here. I didn't see any cool lightning.
You didn't?
I didn't either, Dave.
No. We came in too early. We got to come in later.
Yeah, you got to have the same commitment to work I have.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. At 6:15, John DeCoste has an update on Millard, the musical, this morning.
Is it finally, does it have a premiere date? debut date?
Listen, I am just one of the investors and, one of the principals in this and hoping for a small role. That's really it. So we'll check with John. Commissioner Gary Bettman from the NHL is in town for the draft, and we'll talk to Bettman on the program this morning. Is Bettman coming in, or is he on the phone? Oh, he's on the phone? Okay. President of the Illinois Education Association, a salute to some teachers, because anytime the Illinois Education Association is on, we just salute teachers regardless of the topic.
Yeah, it's very timely, too. Hopefully all the schools will be open. We'll have a budget in place. Everything will be happy.
Well, that's the thing. The governor was originally scheduled to be on the program today. Let's go live to Sandberg on this. Sandberg, I'm going to need you to find a microphone. Because here's what happened. Rauner was scheduled to be on yesterday, and they canceled yesterday. And then he was originally rescheduled, likely, for today. You got a significant warning that the governor might be able to be on today, right?
I did, yeah.
And then what happened?
One of his press girls, women that I schedule with, she said they pulled my availability. So she put it on them, whoever them is.
All right. So do we know if something significant is happening in Springfield that would keep him from making this phone call?
I don't, but maybe just because they're only there for 10 days.
Okay. I'm not knocking on Rauner.
He's always available.
The governor makes himself available. Mike Madigan obviously doesn't. So I'm not banging on Rauner here, but it would have been nice to talk to him today.
Yeah. She tried really hard. She tried.
So let's get him next
week. She apologized. Yeah.
Okay. It's Pride weekend. The Gay Men's Chorus will be on singing in the 9 o'clock
hour.
Hey,
Steve, I can offer you producer Mike Jake, though, if you want.
Mike and Dave Ennett are going to break down the Jimmy Butler trade in a few minutes in a pro and con version. He said, she said. Jake, you'll be playing the she said role.
Okay, so who's pro and who's con?
I don't know. You guys decide. You know how it is. We make all that stuff up. Yes. That's what they do in modern media.
But how did we choose the he said she part of this, the he she?
There's a he said, she said thing on ESPN that gets overhyped. Okay. It was, you know what that is? That's parody.
You know what? I'll pop in an extra prize. How about that?
That's
what?
Fine. Just walk through.
Okay.
And, other stuff. The other stuff is always the important stuff on the show. What did he say? But at 6:18, just had a lose first call, 312-981-7200. Get in line for a lose first call now. Let's do a quick traffic update, and then we'll roll right into the top six at six. Here's Mary.
Traffic sponsored by Hum by Verizon. We've seen a lot of accidents this morning because of the rain. We still have the one on the inbound side of 290, the extension at 83, being cleared out of the two left lanes, hour 15 in from 53, 28 for Mannheim, outbound 46 to 53. Eden's not too bad. The Kennedy 40 out to the airport, inbound 30 from O'Hare, flooding near 290 in the right lane. Watch for that high standing water. Inbound Stevenson, 36 from the tri-state, the inbound Ryan, 20 from 95th. Bishop Ford is way backed up from Sibley, 57 from 115th. 294, we keep seeing an accident southbound at 127th. This is the second one that has just been cleared. Accident Harrison and Independence, malfunctioning traffic light in Buffalo Grove at Buffalo Grove Road and Route 22, and also in Fox Lake, an accident Route 59 and Route 134. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mayor Vandeval, WGN Traffic Central.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Time for the top six at six, and again, 312-91-7200. If you want to be Lou's first call. President Trump acknowledged yesterday, that he did not have recorded conversations with James Comey, though he did say, there may be some. I don't know. It's not my fault. President Trump has created this mess himself. Obviously, James Comey, the former FBI director, said that the reason he pushed for a special counsel and manipulated that through a leak to the New York Times was because he had hoped if there were tapes, he could get his side of the story told as well. In other words, if Trump hadn't tweeted out, Comey better hope there's no tapes, Comey said he wouldn't have made the contacts he made, which presumably wouldn't have led to the special counsel.
And the question yesterday for Sarah Huckabee was, why did the president wait 40 days to say, well, there are no tapes?
Mm-hmm.
Why? And she said, well, he answered the question. He promised he would lay it out soon, and he did. But he took 40 days to say, oh, no, there's no tapes.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe we shouldn't even care if there are no more press briefings, because it's just a big steaming pile every day anyway. There's no questions that ever get answered. And Republicans finally released their Senate version of the Affordable Health Care Act. The legislation would shift money, make deep cuts to Medicaid, allegedly create tax breaks for folks that don't need them, and create a system of tax credits to help people buy health insurance that's income-based, which I think most people generally agree is a good idea. Despite being described as a revamp, it's similar to a measure passed by the House last month with some updates and changes. It has very little chance of getting done as is by next Thursday, but they'll negotiate between now and then. Oh, and Mitch McConnell's a huge creep. Republican lawmakers Thursday also put forward a new plan to overhaul the state's education funding system and send less money to Chicago public schools after a competing proposal from Democrats who are unlikely to approve that. So, in other words, it's a little more fair. And, 60-40 Chicago public schools for the rest of the state is probably closer than what was last week, which was about 70-30.
Oh, at least, yeah. More like 80-10.
Yeah, 80-20. It was out of whack.
Yeah.
This is a bizarre deal, and this is a story out of the Chicago Tribune. Treating the Chicago River as a dumping ground for the city's waste was supposed to be just an occasional thing. Mm-hmm. But again, Tribune journalism, man. The Chicago Tribune's having a hell of a year.
They absolutely are. This is Mike Hawthorne's story. It's unbelievable.
A Tribune analysis found sewage and runoff flowed into the waterway about once every 6 days last year, and even more frequently during the May to October recreation season.
Get this number.
So should we have like hourly bacteria tests before people go into the lake?
Well, absolutely. Well, they test the beaches.
But they do it in the morning and afternoon.
The river, which obviously parts of the river run into the lake, but guess the average amount dumped into the river during and after a rainstorm. Average, 318 million gallons.
Of sewage.
Yeah. And the worst hit area was right by Lane Tech High School, that area where the river branches off of Roscoe. By Lane Tech.
My
that
veterinarian
was the worst hit area.
Told me a couple of years ago, never let my dog swim in Lake Michigan. So if they won't let your dog swim in Lake Michigan, never get in.
People shouldn't.
These numbers are just
disgusting. Yeah, on a million levels.
So wait a minute. Let me clarify. I can't swim anymore?
You can swim. Yeah. You just can't swim in Lake Michigan unless we test you.
And your toilet might be cleaner.
Just don't go in the river. Don't swim in the river.
It's just not good. 42 years long on the endangered species list. I've got good news for the Yellowstone grizzly bear. There was a few more than 150 just a couple years ago. It's now up to 700 Yellowstone grizzly bears.
Oh.
So they're getting off the protected list.
Do you think the bear who texts and calls into the show?
That's the one. Ah. Yeah, there's one of them. And then there's this. Jimmy Butler is reunited with Mr. Personality Coach Tom Thibodeau, the coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Go live to Dave in Minneapolis. Dave, how's the weather there?
It's cold up here. I think we've had a little snow, but it should be okay.
Not surprised. What did the Bulls get in return?
They got two players who were drafted by the Timberwolves and a couple of guards, Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine, who's won the NBA Slam Dunk Contest a couple times, but tore his ACL last season.
And they apparently got a girl. I didn't know that.
Laori.
Oh, no, this is spelled Laori, Marketing. Dave. It's L-A-U-R-I. That's Laori.
I've heard it pronounced that way, too, but it is a he, and he is 7 feet tall from Finland.
You sure it's not a 7 foot tall girl?
I'm very sure. Okay. Very sure. And I think he's going to be a good acquisition for the Bulls, who traded up. Well, basically, they swapped first-round picks with Minnesota in the Butler deal. So it's basically signaling a change in philosophy. Yeah, it's a rebuild. The Bulls are taking the path that worked for the Cubs, that the White Sox believe will work for them. And they finally made a move that I think most of us thought they probably weren't going to make.
It's called breaking the hearts of fans for 3 to 5 years.
Suffer and probably be a lottery team next year.
Can I do a 6.5 speaking of women? Crystal Gaynor, the female police officer.
Oh, yeah, did the softball game?
Threw out the ceremonial first pitch at the softball game last night.
Well, it was 2 nights ago now.
Yeah, 2 nights ago.
Yeah, and did you see where she did a redo because she didn't like her first pitch?
Exactly, yeah.
Give me that ball back.
She said, you know, I'm a basketball star, not a softball. And she threw it. She wanted
a cool moment. It was a very cool moment. Top six brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. Caller number six gets a desktop indoor weather station so you can figure out what the weather is like outside. Huh?
Can I come back from Minnesota now?
Yeah, you should come back.
Okay, thank you.
Dave will be live in studio right after this break.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Let's go live to Lou Manfredini, standing by at Channel 9, I assume?
Yes, sir.
All right, how are things there?
Well, the roof is leaking, actually.
I don't know why that amuses me, but it does.
Need to call the new owners, let them know about it.
Well, when it leaks, don't they look at you and go, could you fix this before the segment?
I walked in and there was a bucket just sitting on the floor.
But don't people look at you like, why wasn't Lou doing something about this?
I mean, when I'm done with you, I'll jump up on the roof.
Yeah,
take some vibrated roof tar and fix it.
I'm sorry, vibrated roof tar?
Mm-hmm. You can patch a roof in the rain.
So you can literally go up on your roof and stop the damage?
Mm-hmm.
Where would I buy vibrated roof tar?
At the hardware store. At your local Ace hardware store. It's messy. Oh.
But having said that, it's an emergency fix.
Absolutely. Vibrated roof tar. You can apply it in the pouring rain.
How about that? Yeah. Look at you. Look at you. And yet you're even more help to Gail and Allsip. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning. How are you?
We're fine. And Gail, Lou is standing by. He wants to take care of all of your needs. What are your needs this morning?
First of all, every time he comes to Allsip, I have to get up at 5:30 in the morning and take my 81-year-old mom to see him. So I get no sleep when he comes to Allsip.
I don't blame you for being upset about that. And your mom should be ashamed of herself. What is your trouble, though?
Okay, my trouble is he suggested a product, and I forgot what it was, for mold. I have a little bit of black mold in my bathroom, and there was a product that cleaned all that up, and I forgot what it was.
What is it?
It's two products, Concrobium Mold Control and the Mold Cleaner from Healthful Home.
The Mold Cleaner from Healthful Home. H-E-A-L-T-H-F-U-L.
Yes, Healthful, not Helpful.
Healthful Home. All right, well, those are both good suggestions. I like Gail. She's great. She got right after it. And by the way, Gail's a big winner, Lou. I don't know if you know that.
I do.
Gail's won herself the April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing her to adjust the temperature of her home's air on the smartphone. Great to prank your family.
Well, and it's really hot right now.
It's brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Man, 855-955-HVAC. Let's talk about leaks for a second.
Yeah.
Mary's deeply concerned about her basement. I know you've spoken of the backup sump pump forever. Mm-hmm. This is something you feel everybody should have?
You should not have if you spend any money on your basement at all with, you know, putting in a sump pump or you're refinishing it, you are just gambling if you don't put some kind of backup in there. So the trick with the backups, whether you have it done professionally or do it yourself, you have to buy a pump and install a pump that moves the same amount of water as your primary pump. There's a lot of cheap pumps out there that literally are bilge pumps from a boat. And that's what they call backups. And so you have to look at what's called the gallons per minute that the pump that you have in there uses. And typically there's a sticker or a stamp on it that'll tell you that if you don't have the box. And you're looking for a backup pump that moves the same amount of water.
And an important texter question, Lou, from the 269. Hey, Lou, how do you get down from an elephant? You don't. You get down from a goose. These are the type of listeners that are out there this morning.
It's the rain. They're all waterlogged.
Do you have any other number one things? Like, what are you going to be covering on Channel 9 this morning?
Well, this morning we're actually talking about bugs on your plants because the moisture and the heat that's come through there, now everybody's plants are starting to bloom a lot, and you may notice a little bit of infestation where they're starting to eat the leaves. And so I've got some really nice products. One in particular, like the go-to one that I'm going to talk about, is by Bonide, and it's called Captain Jack's Dead Bug Spray. Which I love.
Wow.
The name is awesome.
Captain Jack's Dead Bug Spray. You spray it right on the plants?
And fruits and vegetables.
So like before eating an orange, you just spray it on the orange?
Well, no. You would do it on your... You can use it on fruit trees if you have fruit trees. But they make it in a concentrate and a spray bottle, and it really does work. And it's all natural, so you don't have to worry about eating the fruit or the vegetables off of that.
Captain Jack's
Dead Bug Spray.
Dead Bug Spray.
Arr.
And Mary Vandeville, get yourself a backup sump pump right now.
Yep, we're going to. I've had it. I'm sick of taking the rugs up every day.
No, it's crazy, Mary.
No.
And my son's asleep. I got to call him and say,
right,
get down
exactly.
There now.
Right. You're up and awake and nervous. And
it wasn't raining when I left the house.
Right.
Call him every 5 minutes.
Yeah, right.
All right, every four.
Yeah, about that.
We'll have him right around the corner from you, Mary.
I know. I'll be seeing you tomorrow.
All right.
Yeah, that's the Manfredini Ace Hardware. Mm-hmm. By the way, it's one of my two favorites. all right, buddy, enjoy yourself.
You stay dry.
Happy weekend. It's 6:33. We're going to come back. Andre will tell you what's going on with healthcare and why we should all just quit.
We don't want to quit yet.
Too much of a summation there. And coming up here in a few minutes, your boyfriend, Eddie Olchek, will be on.
Yes.
Edzo. Thanks again to American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men for the top six at six. Six caller wins the weather station. Back after this.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, if you're looking for a relationship, but you're not interested in a clingy guy who's going to be around all the time going, where are you going? What are you doing? If you don't necessarily want the commitment of a man in your life every day, but you'd like to have the story of the relationship and the story of the man, there's a new statue in Edgewater of Abraham Lincoln. It's a 13-foot-tall bronze statue, and they've renamed it Babraham Lincoln.
I know. They were calling it the sexy statue.
Yeah. Young Lincoln, cast in bronze, 13 feet tall. Shirt unbuttoned to about mid-chest, reading a book, sitting casually posed. He's not Abe Lincoln, he's Babe Lincoln.
And he's ripped, too. When he's holding the book, his sleeves are rolled up, you can see the muscles.
Well, he was a wrestler. He's in the Wrestling Hall of Fame and a log thrower, a big dude. You don't want to mess with Babraham.
Didn't use you as, say, the prototype.
Have to pose for that. Okay. Yes, I did. Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's in Edgewater where?
I don't know exactly where it is in Edgewater.
Okay, so just drive around Edgewater.
Yeah.
No, it's
I'll
at Senn Park at Ridge and Clark.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's right. Senn High School's right there.
Yeah.
As you go up Ridge towards Clark?
Just before you get to Loyola.
Yeah. There you go. But that's not a new statue, is it? Isn't it been there a while?
I think it's refurbished.
Oh, they just polished it up and sexed it up?
Sexed it up.
There you go.
I don't know if they sexed it up.
Speaking of sexy, Eddie Olchek will join us here in a couple of minutes. Mary's got an update on the drizzle and the traffic and what's happening.
Olchek got to it. Olchek busting at center ice. Comes over the line. Shooting. He scores! Olchek! A shorthanded goal! He just blew right through the defense at center. Coffey couldn't even catch him. Fired it by Fuhr on the sixth side.
Big weekend for Chicago hockey fans, and that's everybody. The NHL draft. The commissioner, Gary Bettman, later. The sexiest man in hockey, Eddie Olchek, standing by right now. Let's go live to Edzo now. Good morning, Edward. How are you?
Hello, Steve. How are you, pal?
I'm doing just fine. Doing fine.
Very nice introduction. I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right,
very
let's
nice.
Go back to Thank your draft day. Tell me what you felt like.
33 years ago, Steve, which is really hard to believe.
That is crazy.
I was sitting at the Montreal Forum, that's where the NHL draft was held annually, was at the Montreal Forum for many, many years. And the Blackhawks had the sixth pick that year, and I kind of thought I was going to go somewhere in between 2 and 4 or 2 and 5. And the second pick goes, and the first two picks go, and I didn't get chosen. And then next thing you know, there was a timeout on the floor, and the Blackhawks moved up from 6th to 3rd, and I never thought in my wildest dreams that let alone myself, but a Chicago kid would be drafted by his hometown team in the first round. And I'm proud to say that I'm the first American-born native son ever to be drafted in the first round by his hometown team. And it was a pretty amazing feeling that all my dreams and all the people that helped me along the way to be able to be drafted by the team I lived and died with as a kid, I became a member of the Blackhawks back 33 years ago, right around this time. So it was pretty amazing for me, my family, and everybody that helped me along the way. It was pretty pretty special stuff.
So you can feel for the families today of these kids, and they are kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you're going to have kids drafted that are maybe 17 years of age that'll be 18 soon, like I was. I was 17 when I was drafted, and then I turned 18 before I turned pro. But you're going to have kids between 17 and 20 years of age, and you know, look, there's a lot of hard work. It, you know, to be drafted is an honor in itself, Steve. But at the end of the day, we see it. David knows this, that, you know, whether it's, you know, football, basketball, baseball, I mean, it doesn't matter where you get drafted. If you get that opportunity and take advantage of it and you have that discipline both on the field and off or on the ice or whatever, it's a great opportunity. So, yeah, I mean, it is nerve-wracking. Look, and you're going to hear stories that of families being at the United Center and they're waiting, you know, they're waiting for their son to be drafted or their brother or sister, you know, to be drafted. And it's, you know, sometimes those kids sit there a while and they expect to go tonight because of the first round tonight. And the next thing you know, they got to sit and wait another 24 hours.
Sure.
And, you know, their agents are telling them things, they're hearing things, and they just sit there, they wait and they wait. And then eventually they get taken, hopefully, because there have been stories where you have guys that think they're going to get drafted and they sit there for almost 2 days and never get the call. But that's the reality of it.
Let's give folks some perspective, because even though, you know, the 80s weren't the 70s, what was your first contract worth? What did you sign for?
I signed a 4-year contract for $75,000, $85,000, $95,000, and $105,000.
And I bet it seemed like all the money in the world.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
What was the first thing you bought, Edzo?
$75,000 lunch.
Yeah, no,
right, you know, like a not a motorcycle, but something.
Yeah, did you buy anything for yourself?
You know, pretty close. I went out to Apple Chevrolet out there on the south side, and I put myself into a brand new black 1984 black Corvette.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Ooh.
The Edzo Mobile.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had some fun back in the day in the old black Corvette. So yeah, that was the one thing that I always
car could
thought
talk.
About getting. And yeah, well, good thing it was. Look, you didn't have a smart guy in the phone. Good thing it wasn't a smart vehicle at the time, because you just never know what the hell that might have happened.
Well, nothing but
I do have to say. I mean, what a great get for the Blackhawks. So look, any major event
sure.
for this team. they go out and get it. I mean, congratulations to John McDonough and Jay Blanc under Rocky Wirtz's umbrella to go ahead and get this event, because it is, I mean, it's big, right? I mean, any whatever it is to do with the National Hockey League, you know, the Blackhawks are beating it down and trying to get it here, whether it's an outdoor game, the draft, maybe an all-star game somewhere down the road, I'm sure is going to end up.
Well,
here,
and here's the thing with school Chicago, being out, so. School's out now. So if you have a chance to bring your kids down for day for this interactive fan fest thing,
you're going to have. You're going to have people down there, or you're going to have, you know, current Blackhawks, former Blackhawks broadcasters down there on a weekend. They'll be signing autographs. There's going to be so much to do. And look, if you can get a chance to get inside and see the event, because I'm sure the Blackhawks staff is going to put on a wonderful event. And I know it's an NHL event, but, you know, the Blackhawks obviously have a big say. But again, I mean, just a great get by John and his staff to bring the NHL draft here to our great city.
And the Neon Trees will be playing, by the way, at FanFest.
So is that right? One of Dave's favorites.
Yeah. Hey, Eddie, the two names that are being tossed about the most, Nico Hischier and Nolan Patrick. We've seen guys the last few years in the draft come in, Connor McDavid, make immediate impacts. What do you know about these guys, and are there other guys we should be watching tonight?
Yeah, you know, and I've just seen some video on these guys, David. So, I mean, people that I've talked to is, I mean, you know, I think it depends on, you know, which team. What is the philosophy of the specific team? Are they looking to, you know, make a big impact right now, or are they looking maybe to let these players grow for a year or two before they, you know, maybe those teams get good? You know, I mean, look, the Devils have the first pick. Are they going to hold on to that? You know, what's going to end up happening? Will Vegas, you know, maybe move up with all the draft picks they've accumulated here with the expansion draft? Do they have an opportunity to move up? I believe there's drafting six. Maybe will they move into maybe that second spot where Philadelphia is? And so, you know, look, I think that, you know, you talk about generational players. We've had a few of them come through here, starting with, you know, with Patrick Kane and Sidney Crosby. And you mentioned Connor McDavid. But I think both these young guys have an opportunity to be really good pro players. Do they have to be, you know, do they have the ability to be generational changers? You know, I'm not so sure. But these guys are going to get an opportunity at some point, whether it's the first game of the regular season or somewhere down the road, to come into the National Hockey League.
Before we run out of time here, Andrea Darlis is here, and I know you'd prefer to talk to her.
Edzo, how's it going?
How are you? Well, I heard you talking about shower, lightning, and Babe Lincoln. What's going on there?
I know. There's a lot going on. Busy news day, Edzo. You know how it goes.
Hey, tell Mary the traffic was great coming in on to Kennedy. I got home.
Good.
I'm actually on my way down to the United Center. I'm doing a hit for GN News. I heard you guys had Lou on a little bit earlier. Yeah. I'm doing something with Thomas Hulo coming up to the United Center. But tell Mary, traffic on the Kennedy was pretty good this morning.
Beautiful. Thanks, Enzo.
And watch out for Thomas Hulo. He's shifty. He's small, but he's shifty.
Don't worry. I'll just give him a little forearm shiver there and take
him a lesson. That's exactly right. I know fans are going to love seeing you out there. They always do. It's the great Eddie Olczyk. 33 years ago. His dreams came true, and he became a Blackhawk, and he's better looking now than he's ever been. How about that?
Amen to that.
He's like Ali. He's still pretty.
Lots of shoe polish there, Steve. Lots of shoe polish.
No, you don't need any
All right, buddy.
Shoe polish.
Hold on. Give Eddie the same thing we give him whenever he's on the show. The commissioner, Gary Bettman, coming up 7 o'clock. News next on 720 WGN.
Life is about lessons learned.
I'll put your right hand out. I'll break a Pierce handshake. Say farewell. I blew my biggest break. So much for compromising with the North and South. I barely kept things civil. Soon a war breaks out. Miller Fillmore could have been a winner, but lost the chicken dinner now. Miller Fillmore. Choke. Choke. Miller Fillmore. Back he goes to Buffalo, hanging with his head down low. Miller Fillmore. Now you're nothing but a joke.
Millard. Coming soon.
Millard Fillmore. Millard the Musical. And that's just one of the show-stopping tunes. This is a concept that John DeCoste and I came up with. It has nothing to do with the success of Hamilton. And we just wanted people to enjoy a historical musical about a famous political figure, possibly done in a different style.
It had nothing to do with Hamilton.
We had other options that we were trying to work on. George Washington Carver.
Right.
Smoother than a brand new jar of Skippy.
Yeah, because we originally were going to call it Carver because we couldn't get the rights to George Washington. Mm-hmm. And then we realized people thought it was a Boston Market sandwich, and it really wasn't much of a musical.
Yeah, it was. And we had he had a drinking problem, Oswald Boateng.
Yes, it's a true story.
Famous Taylor.
Yes.
Stitch in time doesn't work when you drink wine. We were coming up with that as well.
So none of these were as good as Millard.
No.
Obviously, the story of Millard Fillmore set to music.
And plus, Millard's story has never been told before, I don't think, has it?
Not even by his family.
No.
I started to write William Henry Harrison, but he was only in office for a month, and I got it like half through a song, and I go, this is too much.
Yeah, there's really nothing he could do. He got the flu. That's it.
Talk for 2 hours.
Then he died.
And that would have been
musical.
Funny. Yeah.
It's not a full musical.
It would have
been fun.
All right, so here's what I'd like you to do, because I know you are auditioning some of the biggest names in the business. Later in the show, come back. We'll play another clip.
Okay.
And then tell us some of the folks you're talking to, maybe during Dean's segment. Tell us some of the folks you're talking to.
And we can talk about our new website, the Go ReFundMe page.
It's for people that don't like this show. It's John came up with this. It's Go Refund Me.
So it wouldn't be a Kickstarter. It would be like a Kickstopper or something?
It was a kick crotcher.
Whatever they donate, I give them some of it back.
Okay. Yes.
It's a little scam, but it
works. Basically, it's this. You don't know if the show's going to be any good. And I think Broadway ought to do this. You pay money in to the Go Refund Me page, and then we give you back a portion of your ticket price ahead of time in case the show is no good.
Right.
Oh, well, that's
it's
generous.
Like Broadway insurance.
Exactly, but that would never happen with
Go
this show.
Refund Me.
This is like a sure thing.
717, Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner, on the draft in Chicago and other things related to hockey.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
From the University of North Dakota, Jonathan Toews.
So Chicago skips by Kessel and takes Jonathan Toews, Winnipeg native, and he goes as the third overall pick.
The first selection of the 2007 National Hockey League entry draft belongs to the Chicago Blackhawks.
It's a historic pick. First time ever the Chicago Blackhawks have had the first pick. And we proudly select from the London Knights, the Ontario Hockey League, Patrick Kane.
And as we said yesterday, we're pretty sure that worked out well. It's the commissioner, Gary Bettman, who joins us now. Welcome to town, and I assume you're looking forward to the next couple of days.
Absolutely. The draft is an opportunity to get a look at the future of our league, some of our teams, and listening to the highlights that you just played, there's always a lot of passion and emotion in the building. People get very excited about who their team might be drafting and what a difference a couple of drafts can make in a particular team.
And I know what good partners the Blackhawks have been to the league, but was there one thing in particular that sunk it for you guys that make the decision on where the draft's going to go to bring it here?
You know, there's never one thing, but we like to bring our events to as many clubs as possible. Our clubs want our events. But in particular, this is the first time the draft has ever been in Chicago. And I was actually astounded to know that that was the case.
Yeah, same here.
And so when Rocky and John McDonough and Mayor Emanuel all got together and said, we've got to do this here, and the fans, as we all know, in Chicago for the Blackhawks and hockey are so phenomenal, where better to go right now?
Commissioner, we're rookies as far as the National Hockey League draft goes, but you have presided over about a quarter century's worth as commissioner. So what can fans expect, and what advice would you have for fans who are heading to the United Center tonight? What are they going to see?
Well, two things. One, we have a fan fest out near the United Center, which is from 3 to 9 tonight and 9 to 3 tomorrow. And, you know, it's our interactive, fun theme park, and fans will have a great time spending time there as well. But this is a large business meeting. There's excitement, there's anticipation, there's strategy by our clubs, there may be some trades. You look at how teams are trying to fill needs. Are they picking by position? Are they picking the best athlete available? And there's a fair amount of intrigue, and there's always a lot of enthusiasm in the building. We do it a little bit different than the other sports leagues. We have our teams actually there on the floor, tables of a dozen people, so they're not back at their home centers, back in their cities. And so there's a lot of interaction going on among the clubs on the floor, and each club announces its own pick. So there's a little bit of an individual touch to how they announce it and what they say, and the fans in the building are generally pretty enthusiastic, either in a positive or a negative way, depending on who's selecting.
In all the years you've done this, what's the latest you've ever been handed a deal that changed what you were going to say when you walk out? Because I don't know that people understand it's not final until you walk out and say it, but there's got to be a cutoff point, right, where you can't make any more changes.
Well, it's up until each team has a certain number of minutes that they're allowed to have to decide what they're going to do, and they've got to make a trade in that time frame. So I might know that there's a trade 15 seconds before I'm actually announcing it.
How about, I was going to say, how about the influx of hard-to-pronounce European players in the last 10 years?
You see, but the easy part is the clubs make their own announcement as to the picks. We
right.
invite the clubs up. So what will happen is when a team's on the clock and they're ready to make the pick, there'll be anywhere from one or two people to a dozen from a particular team, the general manager, the coach, sometimes the owner, the scouts, and it's their day in the sun, and we're kind of proud to do it the way we do because it makes it more of an inclusive event
right.
by having the teams there and having them come up on the stage and make their own announcement.
Should be a great night. Commissioner, what has been the early feedback you've gotten on what the Vegas Golden Knights did as far as the expansion draft and stocking their roster? And I know with the schedule coming out yesterday, a lot of Blackhawks fans probably circling the schedule for those dates out in Vegas.
You think fans are going to be making a lot of road trips?
I think those two trips are going to be pretty big.
Yeah, I would think so.
This is the deepest expansion draft we've ever had. We set the rules in a way so that this expansion team would be more competitive than any other expansion team. Are they going to make the playoffs in the first year or win the Stanley Cup? Well, I'm not prone to make prognostications. I think that would be a stretch, but I do think they'll be playing meaningful games throughout most, if not all, of the regular season, and their build curve won't be as steep as it's been for some expansion teams. And when the build curve gets a little too long, some of the initial enthusiasm can wear off. I think George McPhee, the general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights, did a great job with the rules he was given, and they should have a pretty good team.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be competitive right away. What's the talk about adding another team to balance it off? Is there going to be, soon down the road, another team as far as expansion goes?
We're not focused on any additional expansion right now. You expand if you think it'll make the league stronger, if there's a place you can go to that has all of the factors, ownership, market, and arena. But it's not. We're not going to expand. It's too important a decision to do it just to be symmetrical. If at the right time in the future there's an opportunity that makes sense, we'll consider it. But we don't consider it a mandate to get to 32 teams anytime soon. If it happens, it'll happen because it makes sense, not because we're pushing to get to 32.
And plus, with the resurgence of the league and the popularity of the new TV contracts and everything that's gone on, I assume we've got cities knocking on your door all the time.
We do, and we're flattered by the interest. We've never had a stronger footprint. Our franchises have never been in better shape. But most importantly, what is driving the growth of the game to record levels is our competitive balance is extraordinary. The races to the playoffs are decided by a point or two. The regular season is incredibly important. And as we know, and we saw it here in Chicago, this year, once the playoffs begin, anything can happen.
It's nice to talk to you. I know it's going to be a very busy day, but we're very pleased, obviously, to have the draft here. I know the Blackhawks are doing a bang-up job, and it's going to be a great show today and tomorrow. But I'm mostly excited for these kids and their families. And I'm sure that's got to be the most fun part of your next 2 days is when you get to congratulate these kids and their families after the picks.
Absolutely. And in fact, after we get off the phone, I'm going down to a breakfast that we hold for the prospects who are going to be drafted and their families. But I will tell you, we're thrilled to be in Chicago. this is such a great sports town, such a great hockey town. And what Rocky Wirtz has done with this franchise in the last decade is nothing short of phenomenal. So we're grateful to be here and have the tremendous support that we get from the people of Chicago.
Thank you, Commissioner. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Commissioner Gary Bettman, who has, it's really astounding when you think about it. I mean, he was David Stern's number two forever in
right.
the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been commissioner now in the NHL for 24 years. 24, is that right?
1993.
Yeah.
And he brought with him a lot of what the NBA had done successfully, brought
yep.
it to the NHL. And right down to the kind of changed the playoff format right away. And obviously the
well, there's been, and there's been ups and downs, but he's
sure.
wrote them out.
Sure.
Remember,
no
I mean, the strike-shortened season,
yeah,
what was it, 04?
They had to work their way through labor troubles, but...
And the NHL looked like it was in real trouble. It's, I agree with him. It's a hotter product than ever now, yeah. and in no small part, thanks to the Blackhawks.
No question.
It's 7:30. We're back after this, and it's NHL draft weekend, so I insist, if you're a kid and you're a talk radio fan, because I know your kids are up listening, because school's out, you go to your mom or dad and go, please, 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 can we go to FanFest? Please, please, can we? And keep doing that until they bring you. It's 7:31, back after this on 720 WGN.
When my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face, I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you, and the day's all bright with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
7:42, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. We continue with show number 932. And a couple of housekeeping things. Tom and Heather? I'm sorry, I can't make that out. I assume that's Heather. Yeah, that's Heather.
Did you
Tom
write
and Heather?
That?
No, it looks like you're okay. laughing, Sandberg. It looks like your handwriting.
Oh.
they went to Aaron Hills for the Open, and they sent me back a player sheet. So thanks for that, a little souvenir. And also a very nice note from Christina Craven from Evergreen Park, fan of the program as well. The other day, I briefly met with a guy named Ken Miller, great guy, and a big proponent and supporter of Ribfest out in Naperville, which is about to open. And, of course, everybody's going to the Toby Keith show next Friday night, but they got great music all weekend out there. The Romantics next Saturday, A Flock of Seagulls next Saturday, and the B-52s. Next Saturday.
It's like 80s heaven.
It is kind of your stage, right? And then there's a Nathan's hot dog eating contest, which I will not be involved in. But then the Monday lineup. Now, this is Monday, July 3rd, and it's a weird day because it's like the bridge day before the 4th, right? So let's say you can't get tickets to any of the other shows. How about this for Monday? You got Better Than Ezra and the Wallflowers.
Oh,
Monday, I love the
afternoon.
Wallflowers.
Me too. I saw them in college.
Remember that one band, not quite as good as Ezra? Never caught on. Better Than Ezra. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the Wallflowers at 6, and then Trey Mustache at 8.
It's a good lineup.
Yeah, so it's a good lineup. So anyway, Ken Miller, nice to see you, and thanks for all that. He does great stuff out there, and Kids Matter is a great program.
Are you offering
we'll talk about that.
People to stay at your place in Naperville?
At the Western Summer Home?
If you want to stay for the weekend.
Sure. Yeah.
We can Airbnb at your house.
Sure, you guys, yeah, listeners, anybody.
White lightning.
Yeah.
Oh, he can pick us up.
Yeah, there's plenty of room.
Hey, you guys see fire trucks out in front of the building?
Yep.
Yeah, there's, we're all good. There is some smoke in the elevator. Smoke in the elevator.
Elevator.
Some smoke in the elevator, which we believe is nothing, and the fire department doesn't seem to be in a great deal of hurry, so I think it's they're just going to check out what the problem is.
We've decided to self-evacuate, so we'll see you on Monday.
Have a good weekend, guys.
I'm with Steve on this one, actually.
Really concerned being on the first floor? There's no way to get out?
Wait, what's the rule? If you're on the seventh floor, you're supposed to stay put? Huh?
I don't know.
Yeah, seventh floor, definitely stay where you are.
Great. Go down with the news. You got to go.
Yeah. No, anytime there's a fire call in the city, lots of very impressive-looking vehicles have to show up.
I thought you were going to say lots of very impressive firefighters look up.
We've done those drills here in this building where they told us to go to the stairwell. You know, we're supposed to all meet in one place that, but I can't remember any of it right now that there's fire trucks here.
Do you just follow the people that have to wear the embarrassing hats? Each floor has
a
captain.
Who's in charge?
Bill Murdoch is our
Bill Murdoch is
our
captain.
Yeah, he's here.
He's going to follow him.
The reason we're concerned is we're seeing firefighters walk by the door up here. So
You know what, though? I hate to say this. Every time they do a floor drill or an exercise or anything of that sort, they say, this drill is for everybody except the news department.
And the people on the air.
Yeah. We go down with the ship.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the news department has to stay put.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got in trouble because I refused to evacuate once. I was waiting for a phone call upstairs, and I didn't evacuate because it was a drill. I knew it was a drill. Bill, were you mad? Where'd Bill go? Was Bill mad at me that day? Somebody in Bill's department was mad at me.
I'm certain he was because they take it very seriously.
Yeah, well, they should. And I was just being difficult. Petulant.
Sounds about right.
At 7:46, Sandberg is a part of our housekeeping effort here. A couple other things. One is you had an important question that I did not have an answer for, and I don't believe anyone on this show knows the answer either.
It's an interesting question.
So on my way in this morning, there was a jackknife semi on the outbound Kennedy, and it didn't hit the median or anything like that. So I was wondering, to anyone who maybe drives a truck, if you're truck jackknifes but doesn't hit anything, can they just straighten it out and you'd be on your way? Or is it broken when it jackknifes and can't be used?
Or is there some sort of rule on a jackknife truck? Once it's jackknife, you can't drive it anymore.
Right. Like, you know, is that break the...
It's a rule.
That would be a good question for our truck driver friend. Remember who was on a few weeks
ago?
The
author?
Oh, yeah.
I see it. I think it all depends on what the damage is.
Well, that's
is what that
I'm
what at. It is?
Is jackknifing mean damage or just means you're facing the wrong way and bent in half, like, but could be straightened out? That's
it
what I'd like to know.
Could be either or both.
If you get jackknife married, correct me if I'm wrong, in a certain direction, you have to finish your route backwards. You have to drive backwards once it's straightened out the rest of the way to
it's
Toledo.
Not like it's not like an off skate, a backwards skate.
I thought it was. So if you're a trucker, this has been troubling Sandberg all morning, and trust me, you want to get her an answer for the sake of the show.
It's troubling us.
We have a lot of truck drivers out there. They'll call.
Yeah.
They call me
312-981-7200 is the number.
Dave, according to Wikipedia.
And Wikipedia is never wrong.
There we go.
This may be caused by equipment failure, improper braking, adverse road conditions. Driver may attempt to jackknife the vehicle deliberately in order to halt it following brake failure.
Oh.
Okay, but that still doesn't
Well, it was
answer.
Raining a lot, so I'm guessing it's the weather.
Is it
broken? Well, yeah, because we had like three of them this morning.
Dave, look up unjackknife on Wikipedia.
How to unjackknife.
How about de-jackknife?
Because this one was jackknifed and facing the wrong way, but I just was wondering if once they straightened out, if he gets to just drive away or if there's a...
I guess he can still drive if it's not broken.
That's the thing I want to know. If the jackknifing breaks it, do we know?
We'll ask a trucker.
Yeah, truckers, 312-981-7200. That would be your telephone number. Call in now, unless Dave has other Wikipedia pages he's enjoying that he wants to share with us.
I'm checking.
The new Apple store behind us is allegedly going to open someday.
Oh.
And yesterday, they put a logo on top of the roof that makes it look like a laptop.
Oh, I can't see it. They did.
Yeah. Yeah. So the roof of the Apple store could be seen by anybody from the buildings above, obviously, if you're flying overhead, but you wouldn't be flying over the city. So you could see the Apple logo. Here it is right here.
Cool. All right. Now, when's the store going to open?
Yeah, we don't know. But along with a four-story Starbucks down the street at the old Crate and Barrel location.
Yeah.
Is it four stories or is it more than that?
It's definitely three, because I've been in that.
It is four. I'm getting
I think
a hint.
It is four. Yeah.
A four-story Starbucks, and now the Apple Store, which part of it will be underground, right?
It's going to be underground, yeah. Most of it. But you know, that's the Starbucks that's opening. That's going to be one of the first roasteries in Chicago.
I'm just saying, for a city that is allegedly having all the trouble we're having, there's a lot of cranes and a lot of building going on.
Yeah.
So. Got that going for us.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
He's bound and down. Load him up and truck it. Now we all do what they say can't be done.
Come on, everybody.
We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch your bandit run.
What's his name?
keep your foot hard on the pedal.
He did. He did. When it's hot, it's
Jerry Reed.
Jerry, when you're hot, you're hot.
When you're hot, you're hot.
By the way, we're gonna play C.W. McCall, but the rights fee was too expensive. All right, Sandberg. We believe we have an answer to your jackknife trucker question. Let's go live to Wally the trucker. Hello, Wally the trucker.
How you doing?
What are you hauling, Wally?
Packages.
Packages. We don't need no stinking packages. And where are you going? Short haul, long haul?
I go up to Wisconsin twice a day.
Twice a day? Wow, good for you. That's a lot of time on the road, buddy.
Yeah, I used to run out to Central Iowa, but I got sick and tired of that.
All right, so what's the jackknife truck question answer?
Well, once a trailer and a tractor get 90 degrees, it's not good. Usually it's damaged, some kind of damage, so you got to get a wrecker in there. Normally the airlines come off, so once the airlines come off, you can't release the brakes. If you jackknife to the passenger side, you normally knock the stack off.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on a second, Wally, because Dave's nodding like he just got out of his cab.
But I think
How do you know this, Dave?
Wally's explaining it better. I would let Wally continue.
Dave's nodding like he just got out of his rig. So how long you been a trucker, Wally?
36 years.
God bless you. And always safe. Never a problem.
30-some years of safe driving, yep.
All right, so tell me the weirdest that you can say on the air, the weirdest thing you've seen while you were our trucker.
I stopped a guy that just got done robbing a gas station in Moline because he didn't realize that the Mississippi Bridge was down to one lane.
Nice!
So me and another guy stopped in the middle of the Mississippi Bridge, and the police that were chasing him got out and right in the middle of the bridge.
How cool is that? Wow. That's a great story.
Yeah, well, he was going west, and then he thought he was going to get away with something. I saw him going west over, you know, coming at me, and then he spun around on a clover leaf and decided he was going to try and get back into Illinois. Well, it was 2:30 in the morning. There was nobody out there. So we just stopped in the middle of the bridge.
That's a great story. All right, Sandberg, you're allowed one follow-up.
All right, Wally, so once the semi-jackknife's past 90 degrees, does...
I can't believe how fascinated you are.
You still have packages that need to get to Wisconsin.
He delivers them by hand.
Does another truck meet you somewhere and pick up these packages to get them there?
Well, it'll get, you know, either you get it repaired or, you know, it depends on how far you are away. A wrecker will come and pick you up, or you get a rental. Like, you know, some of the long haul guys, you know, the owner operators.
That's where Dave comes in. Whenever there's a jackknife truck, a signal goes up and Dave comes by and he picks up the package.
It's like the bat signal.
There you go.
Hey, Wally, you a country music fan?
Used to be years and years ago.
Well, you are now. I'm going to give you tickets to see Blake Shelton and Kelly Clarkson live at Soldier Field for the opening ceremony for the 2017 Department of Defense Warrior Games. It's a great event that we've been promoting all year. So tickets for you for Blake Shelton and Kelly Clarkson. It'll be a great show.
Can't wait.
All right, buddy. Thank you for the info. Hold on. The Warrior Games throughout Chicagoland. You can get concert tickets at Ticketmaster.com. And we got several Warrior Games plugs next week from a couple of wounded soldiers as well who are going to be competing, who I think are coming by the show.
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
Dave, I haven't had a chance since you and I haven't seen each other all week to congratulate you. I hope your daughter's wedding went great.
It went great. It was a wonderful wedding, wonderful weekend, and all good, all good.
Were you a mess emotionally? Did you just break down over and over again?
Yeah, but that was really when I looked at the bill. No, you know what? I really wasn't. I thought I would be.
But you were a rock.
I leading up to it, I was. But for the wedding itself, I was fine.
And did they honeymoon?
Honeymooning now in Mexico.
Any particular part of the entire nation?
They're seeing the entire nation. They're actually Mexico City right now.
Is that right?
And then they're okay, I mean, they've sent pictures.
Are they involved in a drug cartel that you're aware of?
No, not that I know of. Okay. And then they're going to the Riviera Maya.
Fun.
Yeah, so it's great. They're happy. That's what you want, right? You want your kids to be happy.
That's all you want. That's all you want. Good for you.
Thank you.
God bless you, man. I'm glad it went great.
Thank you.
And congratulations as well to Super Agent Steve Mandel, who you guys all know. His son was bar mitzvahed last week,
That's right.
Get a chance to congratulate him on that.
Very nice. Yeah, we were talking a little bit about the bar mitzvah. Pete was asking about gifts and...
He was wrestling
How much? Yeah, because it's a 13-year-old, and he wanted to be generous with it.
What did you guys decide on?
I couldn't believe, personally, that he was going to go like $200 or $150, and I couldn't believe for a 13-year-old that would be
how much.
Well,
it's not about being 13.
Right. Yeah, I'd probably give 50.
And I said it's not about it's not our money.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me good.
Lots of news. Dean's live from Channel 9. We'll get to all the show business. And Dean,
very busy today.
John DeCoste will give you an update on Millard the Musical. And if you have any follow-up questions...
Now, when's that going to happen?
Well, that might be one of your questions. If you have any follow-up questions on the development and the rollout and the audition process...
I have thousands of questions.
All right, so we'll get to John coming up here.
Got a notepad full of them.
Let's not waste any time. Johnny Depp is in jail this morning. He's not in jail?
He might be if he doesn't shut his big mouth.
Yeah.
He was at the Glastonbury Film Festival.
Yep, me too.
Yesterday.
Yep. Just got back.
And he was introducing his film called The Libertine, old film, and was taking some questions from the audience, like, how often do you shower? I don't know if that...
Why are you still considered a sex symbol?
How long have you been wearing those clothes?
Right.
You know, questions like that.
Which of your ex-wives own that outfit? All of those.
Apparently, some of the questions were about our own President Donald Trump. You've heard of him. There's been a lot of talk about him.
By the way, I was just saying, every time I see him on a monitor sitting in the Oval Office... It looks like a cold open for Saturday Night Live. It still looks like a bit. We're 6 months in.
It does. It does. You expect Chevy Chase to walk in.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Somebody asked him some questions about Donald Trump, and among his many comments, he also said, when was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
Yeah, boy.
Johnny.
Yeah, boy.
Johnny Depp.
You know, too soon related to 1865 actually applies in this case. Not good.
Secret Service says they're aware of the comments. They have had no comment. The White House has had no comments. You can bet that there'll be some tweets about this. Johnny Depp's publicist also has not commented on the stupid statement.
Yeah, hasn't he made enough bad movies lately? Those are criminal enough. Why now?
Yeah, really. You know, I'm all for people expressing their opinions.
Yeah.
They're Americans just like everyone else, but sometimes it's just better to shut up and read the script.
Yeah, I don't want Donald Trump to die. I just don't want him to be president anymore. Yeah. I think that's the difference.
Yeah, nobody should be... Well, you know, I'm sure he's going to say I wasn't saying that he should be dead. Who knows how he's going to try to... people, please stop saying that you want to kill anybody.
Yeah, right.
Anybody.
Right. Don't appear with severed heads. Don't go to the Glastonbury Music Fest and make jokes. Just don't.
No, I was thinking of going to the Pride Parade this weekend with your severed head.
I'm not sure that'd even be popular there. Now, there are places where my severed head would be quite popular, but that's...
I think you're kind of a big hit in the
I think so.
LGBT...
Yeah. Yeah.
QRSTV...
QXYZ...
community. Are you going to be there? Are you coming to the parade this weekend?
Unfortunately, I won't. I have to make a trip out of town. My uncle passed away, but
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I'd like to thank Kayak, the cheap airfare finder, who has decided the best way for me to get from Chicago to Syracuse is as follows. Leave Chicago at 10 a.m., arrive in LaGuardia at about noon, leave LaGuardia at 1:30, fly to Washington, D.C., leave Washington, D.C. at 5 and arrive at Syracuse at midnight tonight. I could walk to Syracuse faster.
That sounds very pleasant.
And you can't make a 10 o'clock flight anyway.
No, I can't.
You're going to be 10 o'clock's going to be done. Filled with little pretzels.
So I'm looking at other options like chartering a 747 or something. Yeah. Might be cheaper. Yeah. Are you going to be at Pride Parade?
Yeah, I'll be at Pride Parade on Sunday. I think we're marching behind the TV float this year,
right?
Dean. Yeah. Bozo, Dean, everyone.
Yeah, I'll be on the TV float with Bozo, Tom Skilling.
We should go from one float to the other, just Lourdes jump back Duarte. And forth.
Well, this is what I was thinking of doing. I've been trying to get them to hook up a zip line between the two
floats. Oh, yes. That would be fun.
And then, you know, Andrea is on TV all the time, too. Andrea could, I could zip back to radio, and Andrea could zip up to TV.
Yeah, you should go back and forth.
I'd love that, Dean.
Yeah. That's absolutely true. All right, so good luck, Johnny Depp. What is this Bill Cosby story? And by the way, what's the story? I was about to go Johnny Depp.
This is our new feature, Crazy Stuff That Celebrities Say.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby says that he is going to go on a lecture tour on sexual assault, in which he will tell...
Is he trying to fast-track his way to hell? I mean, what's he doing here?
He'll tell young men that changing laws may encourage more young women to file assault allegations, and that he says that young men should exercise care in their interactions with women.
Is he going to do like a seminar on how to make the drink that knocks them out so you can molest them?
I think that this sounds like a do as I say, not as I do. That should be the name of the seminar on a big poster at the Hyatt Regency.
He needs to shut the hell up, man. He is you talk about offensive. Holy cow.
Lecture tour. Bill Cosby lecture tour.
I'm assuming you're going to have to pay to attend the lecture tour.
I'm guessing this is not for free.
Now, are they going to? Andre and I were talking. Are they going to back that up? They're going to go back to back with OJ's "How to Murder Your Wife" seminar.
how not to murder?
Oh, right. Sorry, how not to murder. Yeah. Yeah,
I don't understand the connection at all.
It's ridiculous.
Wow.
All right. So
His quote going into the courtroom the other day.
It's just unbelievable. Stephen Colbert's in Russia?
He is. We don't know what he's doing there, but we know.
He's obviously in cahoots with Putin.
There's been several Instagram posts of him with a Russian talk show host. So apparently that's part of what he's doing, but also some Instagram photos of him just at famous sites in Moscow, presumably taping some shows, doing some segments. I don't know. CBS has confirmed that he's there, but they're not saying what he's doing. They're not saying when he's going to come back. If
he's allowed.
If he'll ever come back. If he'll ever come back. But it's I think that's kind of an interesting thing right now. I'm a little shocked that they let him in, to tell you the truth.
So am I. Absolutely. And the Han Solo movie. I didn't know there was a Han Solo movie. Andre, you should be thrilled with this.
I know.
Well, that they're, you know, there's the Star Wars movies, and then they are doing these little spin-off movies. The prequel that came out not too long ago, and the next one is scheduled to be a young Han Solo movie whose two directors were fired the other day. They got into creative differences with Lucasfilms.
How do they have two directors?
There were two directors. It's like the Farrelly brothers.
Oh, I see.
Or the
Okay.
Coen brothers. These guys just always work together.
Got it.
Phil Lord and Chris Miller. So they got fired, hired to take over this film, on which production has already started, by the way. Ron Howard, two-time Oscar winner Ron Howard.
Oh, what's he ever done? Seems like that's probably a good move. And did you hear who's playing Han Solo? Gilbert Gottfried,
no.
The young Han Solo. I did not see that coming. Did not see that coming. Interesting choice.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 972.
Dean is the keeper of the clowns. Can you guarantee that Bozo will be at the Pride Parade?
I can guarantee Bozo the clown. The one and only.
Did you know Dean was so good? Did you know Dean was keeper of the clowns?
You like that?
Be.
That's good.
That was good. That was really good.
Let me hear it again.
Your favorite clown?
Come on, let me hear it again.
Who's your favorite clown?
Bozo.
Hey, that's me.
That's so good.
Dean doesn't get out much.
Bozo will be there. Bozo and Tom Skilling are the two most popular people.
That was like a combo of Bozo and Krusty the Clown.
You know, I think Dean Richards is pretty popular, too. You get a lot of people coming up to take selfies.
People screaming, Billy Joel, play!
That's what it is. How come there are two Tom Skillings on the float?
All right, so a couple of movie reviews before we get to the very important topic of Millard. Transformers,
disappointing,
The Last Night.
Disappointing. If you like stories in a movie, if you like some kind of cohesive plot line of the whole thing.
No, no, no. I think that's overkill.
Yeah, these Transformers movies, they're not exactly story heavy. They're all about action, and this one, action, special effects. The Autobots fighting the Decepticons?
Isn't that something Lou sells at his hardware store, Decepticon?
It does.
Kills weeds.
Keep those Decepticons lubricated. You don't lubricate your Decepticon.
Aisle 6.
I don't understand how Transformers could be a bad movie, because wouldn't you take a bad script and transform it into a good one?
Get it? Disappointing. I will say, if all you want is the action, if all you want is explosions, nobody is more proficient at it than director Michael Bay.
Yeah,
but honestly, even Mark Wahlberg looks like he's bored, kind of going through the motions.
There is a point in the script, and it's a crucial part in the movie, because I've seen it three times now, where he looks right at the camera and he goes, run, we must save ourselves, run. And that's when just a paycheck.
Yeah, exactly right. I all have mortgages to pay.
Salma Hayek's got a new movie?
I gave it a Dean's List C. This new movie from Salma Hayek, Beatrice at Dinner, is an understated little movie about this woman who is a holistic healer, a masseuse, a really sweet and caring people. She loves the outdoors. She loves nature. She
Sounds
loves
like
animals.
Me.
She is a masseuse at a cancer clinic and helps to provide relief to people who are dealing with cancer, just so you get an idea who this person is. And she goes to give a massage treatment to one of her clients who lives in a mansion behind in a gated community. Her car breaks down. She's not able to leave. So the client says, why don't you just stay for dinner? We're having a little dinner party.
This is where the trouble starts.
And among the other dinner guests are the client's billionaire real estate developer boss.
Bruce Wayne?
Any connections that you might make to someone who would one day become president of the United States, I think is fairly intentional in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this very holistic person at the dinner table. You've got this self-admitted lover of corporate greed also at the dinner table, engaging in conversation. He's talking about going on African safaris and
I like to go and kill the animals.
He sort of does. He kills a rhinoceros. He's bragging and showing off the picture, a la Donald Trump Jr.
Hey, you with the big boobs, you should see all the animals I kill.
That's not too far off from who this character is. Mm-hmm. And this movie is about this clash between these two unbelievably different kind of people. And the movie basically is about, do you smile and just keep your mouth shut when somebody says and does something that with whom you really disagree? And that means both sides of this.
Oh, it's interesting, right? Because everybody's been at that dinner.
Everybody's been at the dinner where somebody is being an ass.
Yeah.
And do you say something or do you just smile and have another drink of wine? That's what this movie is about. And it's really well done. It's understated. It's lovely. It's so thoughtful. Gave this one a Dean's List B. Really liked it. Beatrice at Dinner. It's only in a few theaters around the Chicago area.
All right. And do we have another Millard promo that we could run, Jake? Let me know when you've got that. And Dean, we'd listen to the promo first, and then you could fire away with your questions.
Oh, okay. All right.
Roll it.
Tension fills your night.
Look, if you have one shot, one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted in one moment, would you capture it or let it slip?
Yo! And
Now snap back to Buffalo, where he don't want to go. Just another so-and-so. Wish he wasn't hesitant. Oval Office resident. Note to the people as the one and only leader called the accidental president. Prove yourself in a moment. Don't phone it. Own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot. Do not miss a chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better prove yourself in the moment. Don't blow it. Own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot. Do not miss a chance to pass go. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime.
That's Millard. Coming soon.
That's right. Millard coming soon. And that, of course, was Ice Millard, the hip-hop character from the play. John, any comments prior to questions here?
Well, you know, we've...
This is your first press conference with the theater media.
This is phenomenal, and thank you so much for listening, Dean. You are actually listening.
No,
right?
I'm stunned by that song. That's so street. I just saw a CTA bus drive by.
Well, we've been holding auditions the last 2 weeks at the Bensonville VFW Hall, and some of the people, I am amazed at some of the people.
Who are you talking to? Who are the people?
Oh, my God. I've already got callbacks on this. Tom Wolpat is phenomenal as Zachary Taylor.
Star power.
He's unbelievable. Sure. Jim J. Bullock, Monroe, of course, from Too Close for Comfort, has just kind of, he stepped into this role, and I'm like, you need to come back. His wife, played by Lanny O'Grady, you probably remember her as Mary Bradford from Eight Is Enough. She came out of no place, just blew us away.
Literally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Richard Klein.
From Three's Company.
Three's Company, yeah.
Larry?
Yeah, Larry.
You got Larry?
He,
Larry from Three's Company, wow.
I didn't even know that he could sing.
Yeah, I got to say, I didn't do that.
But they have just come out in droves.
So obviously the A-listers.
Oh, no question about it. No question about it.
That's
so
amazing.
I'm so proud.
You have any questions, Dean?
I do, because you know, there's a lot of buzz in the theater community, not only here in Chicago, but in New York, about this show being too hot for family viewing. Is it true, as the buzz is on the street, that there will be plenty of nudity in Millard the Musical?
Yeah, initially, we actually have changed our minds. Initially, there were no clothes involved at all.
Right.
And
what we talked about, Dean, was that enough powder might fall off the wigs to cover up the parts you're not supposed to see.
But here's where the miscommunication came from. The VFW hall is very hot. We were just looking to stay cool for auditions.
Oh.
So
that's how these rumors start in show business.
Honest mistake.
Yeah. You know, Dean, one of the questions that's come up regularly is, will there be any cats involved, a la Frank Lloyd Webber? And we haven't really discussed this.
Andrew Lloyd Webber. Yeah.
No, this is Frank Lloyd Webber, Andrew's brother. We couldn't get Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Part-time architect, part-time
We couldn't get Andrew Lloyd Webber. This is Frank Lloyd Webber. Yeah, this is Andrew Lloyd Webber's brother.
I'm with you.
And you have to, you know, it's funny because Cats was so popular, so, and you and I talked about this, too, The narrator will be a cat. And Clarence Williams III has just blown us away.
From the Mod Squad?
Yeah.
You've got some heavy hitters here.
Yeah.
Heavy, heavy hitters.
What's the update on the timeline? Not for the show today. We know it's over at 10.
Oh, okay.
The update on the timeline for Millard actually stayed. Are we going to black box rehearse this anytime soon?
No, because I don't know what a black box is. So I can't do stuff. We talked about this. There's things I can't do if I don't know what I'm doing.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And Bill Maher just called and said, can you use a phrase other than black box?
African-American box?
It'd be better.
A lot of texters are interested in this, too, you guys. And people asking with regard to the nudity.
Right.
Is that full frontal? I mean, people want a little more detail.
It's actually just calves.
Okay.
Right.
It's strong. Strong.
Cats. It's a salute to me.
Calves.
To show off your calves.
Right. It's the best part of Steve.
Yeah, when he says calves, he means young cows. There's a scene with young cows when Millard was a young man.
We're talking
farm.
About the middle of the 19th century. Of course there'll be cows. Does Orion get a walk on?
Yes.
In the cow scene?
In the cow scene.
Okay.
Yes.
Excellent.
He'll give us a report. And then
look at those naked calves.
You know, Dean, John and I are kind of new to the big theater production game. Is there any piece of advice you have for us?
I would just say stay true to your vision. You know, don't get swayed. There's so much buzz. There's so much controversy. There's so many haters. Mm. Haters that want to see this fail.
And, well said.
Just, you know, stay true to your vision.
Believe in who we are.
Don't stop believing.
Dean, at what point should we have a vision?
I mean, prior to opening night, do we need to have a vision?
How does this work time-wise?
No, I think you go at your own pace.
Okay.
You go with your own pace with this. Don't stop believing.
I'm writing this down right now.
The only Journey song I can think of.
Take a bus to rehearsals.
All right, that is Dean Richards' helpful advice for Millard the Musical and more to come. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too.
Thank you, Dean.
8:34, make it 8:35, and the big story in just a moment on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Talking a lot about school funding with a budget that never was, but maybe will be someday. And from the Illinois Education Association, President Cindy Klickna is on the phone with us right now. We'll get a couple minutes here to touch on this. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Steve.
Nice to have you on.
Thank you.
You got a bunch of educators getting together, but this is a nationwide thing, right? Because there are issues that affect students from coast to coast that we probably all put your brains together on and help fix or at least make a dent in.
That's correct. We are headed to the National Education Association's 155th annual meeting in Boston, and nearly 8,000 educators from every state will be coming together to talk about some of the issues facing us all over this country.
You know, it's not a pity party by any stretch, but do your colleagues around the country who know what you're dealing with from an education standpoint in Illinois go, I'm sorry you're dealing with it at least? Do you get a little bit of empathy?
Oh, yes. They can't believe that we're headed into 3 years with no budget. When education is supposed to be so important, and our students, our teachers, our communities are feeling the damage.
So there's a proposal by the Democrats that would give CPS more money than other schools in the rest of the state. I know there's a larger percentage. I know that's a huge district that comprises the state. What are your thoughts on that, Bill? Or would you rather see kind of the money distributed more evenly among all the other schools, the school districts in the state?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to remember that the IEA does not represent Chicago. So I'm sure that the position of Chicago, you know, needs to be asked instead of us, maybe. But you know,
yeah, but you're entitled to an opinion, certainly.
Right. I definitely have that. The bottom line is students are students, and schools need to be supported. And whether you're talking Chicago or one of the smallest districts in our state, we are feeling the impact of this budget crisis because it is hurting every part of our state.
And as you get together in this group over the weekend, what do you see the focus, over the next few days, I should say, the focus is going to be on what particular areas?
Well, I think we'll be talking about the new ESSA, Every Student Succeeds Act, and which has replaced the No Child Left Behind, and putting the decisions back into our states and making sure that educators have a voice. I'm sure we're going to be talking about the national budget and the proposals from Betsy DeVos and the Trump administration of major cuts in funding for education across the country, which just will make it worse for us here in Illinois without a budget to fall back on.
We got so much bad news. Let's wrap up with some good news. Give me some good news about education in Illinois.
Well, the good news about education is that we have amazing people in our schools every day working for students. Another good news is actually about our union. We are doing a lot of work on adverse childhood experiences, trauma, and how that affects student learning. And we will be receiving a prestigious award from the NEA next weekend at the annual Human and Civil Rights Dinner.
Well, congratulations
on
that.
Thank you very much. It's been an amazing experience in seeing how we can help our members with professional development in ways to help students even more than they do.
My hope is that the folks in Springfield who have spent our money in so many poor ways over these years, that have in a bipartisan way got us into this mess, can in a bipartisan way finally do the right thing. I'll cross my fingers and my toes. You travel safe.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate you being on. It's 8:50. Let me play you some sound that I think we all need to hear. It's a bipartisan problem when it comes to health care. Is there a bipartisan solution? Maybe. But let's start with the president and his admission that there are no Comey tapes, at least not from him. Congressman Adam Schiff from California, the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee. Here's his thoughts.
President's denial of these tapes raised a lot of questions. If he didn't make tape recordings, then why did he essentially threaten James Comey that there might be tapes? Why did he keep the country waiting so long? And with this suggestion that he had made about the existence of tapes, I wish we could say that everything the president tweets is in fact true. But sadly, we have seen now on repeated occasions the president has tweeted things that were patently untrue. So I don't think we can accept this as the last word. I also think that even the denial itself is not complete and only goes to what he did or he is aware of. So I think there's more work to be done before we can rest assured that there are no recordings of any conversation between the president and James Comey.
Hey, he occasionally tells the truth. Meanwhile, the idea that Mitch McConnell is going to get this health care plan done and signed signed by the president through next Thursday before they go on their much needed 4th of July break.
Yeah.
But they got problems. Pat Roberts is one of the Republican senators who's got big, big questions.
Well, I like being in the back seat of a convertible with Thelma and Louise, and you got to get out of the car. Maybe the first car we get into is not exactly the car you want, but you got to do that, and then maybe there's another car. This is going to take some time. You can't just fix it.
See, Pat Roberts is comparing the health plan to Thelma and Louise and the cliff.
Yeah. I don't think getting out of the car is going to help at this point.
No, you drop, stop, and roll.
Right, or getting a different car is going to help. It's just amazing to me, we talked about this before, that Sarah Huckabee yesterday came out and said...
Sarah Huckabee Sanders?
Yeah, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, exactly. Yeah. Well, he answered the question, why did he let it go on for 40 days?
Why start it, why let it go on, and why finish it that way?
Yeah.
The president was on Fox and Friends this morning. I'm sure that was a real hard-hitting interview. And in talking about the friendship between Mueller and Comey, here's what President Trump said.
Robert Mueller, do you think he should recuse himself from this? Because he is good friends with James Comey. He's hired some attorneys that were part of Hillary Clinton's foundation, have given money to President Obama and Hillary Clinton's campaign. Should he recuse himself?
Well, he's very, very good friends with Comey, which is very bothersome. But he's also, we're going to have to see. I mean, we're going to have to see. In terms, look, there has been no obstruction, there has been no collusion, there has been leaking by Comey, but there's been no collusion, no obstruction, and virtually everybody agrees to that. So we'll have to see. I can say that the people that have been hired are all Hillary Clinton supporters.
Okay, here we go again. Can I just ask for clarification?
It's just ridiculous.
How is Comey leaking if he's testifying before a Senate subcommittee under oath?
Well, the leak he's talking about is the New York Times thing, right? But here's the thing. Do you want to take the guy who could literally find enough to put you in jail and continue to mock him and question his integrity? Does that seem wise?
Not to me.
I don't think so. CLTV joins us in a moment, and we will get your final hour of the program featuring the Chicago Gay Men's Chorus to kick off Pride Weekend, coming up on 720 WGN. All right, it's 9:11. The Steve Cochran Show continues. We're live on CLTV. Give them the gratuitous good morning. Good morning, CLTV.
Hi, CLTV.
Hi, good morning.
We love you.
We do love them. And this is Pride Weekend, so we're going to, and not everybody was able to make it this morning, but let me say hi to you. Jonathan, Nick, Aaron, David, Jamie, Peter, Joe, Larry, Andrew, Jack, Robert, David, Leslie, Reggie, Sean, and the boss, Jimmy Moorhead, kicking off Pride Weekend. This is the Chicago Gay Men's Chorus.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleam?
How great is that? How great is that? A little something to kick off Pride weekend. We'll come back, talk to Jimmy, and hear a bunch more from these guys and this lovely lady in just a moment on 720 WGN. Chicago Gay Men's Chorus, friends of the show for a long time. Jimmy, you and I go back to, what was it, the Christmas festival thing that we used to do on Saturday nights. One of the Festival of Lights.
Oh, yeah.
Festival of Lights. Remember? I think that's where we met.
You guys, long time ago.
Yeah, Festival of Lights, you guys would come in and sing.
Back then, I was just playing.
And now you're the boss.
Yeah.
The whip cracker.
Awkward.
How many members in the group?
150 singing members, about 200 members.
And how do you know who gets what gig?
I don't know. I make it up as I go along.
Is it availability, need, talent, all of those things?
Oh, you mean for like these morning concerts?
Well, yeah. Whatever. I mean, yeah. These guys obviously lost a bet. That's why they had to come in.
Right.
And sing early in the morning.
Right, right. You have to be able to sing at this hour.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. And how many shows are you guys doing in a year?
We do four big shows.
Four big shows?
Yeah.
But a lot of corporate events and things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, little things here and there and
you
everywhere.
You do caroling at the Bean, too, on occasion.
Every now and then, yeah.
Yeah, like that, too.
Yeah, and best place to find everything out about what you're doing is what website?
The website, cgmc.org.
cgmc.org.
Otherwise, you end up in Columbus, but I didn't say that.
Right, who needs that? All right, I know you're going to do several songs for us. What's next?
Next, we're going to do I'm a Believer by the Monkees because we just finished doing a boy band show.
Ah, cool. Yeah. Very
Mickey
cool.
Dolenz was just on the program, too.
That is excellent. All right, we'll shut up. You sing. Here again, the Chicago Gay Men's Chorus on the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
To get me, that's the way it seems. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I thought love was more or less a given thing. Seems the more I gave, the less I got. What's the use of trying? All you get is pain. When I needed sunshine, I got rain. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace. Get me, that's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer, not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. Then I saw her face.
Yeah, wow. That's what I'm talking about, right there, right there. I wish Mickey Dolenz were still here; he'd love that.
Oh my God, that's fantastic!
Yeah, that's tremendous. How many the boy bands did you hit in the boy band show?
Well, probably like 20.
20 different 20. Boy bands.
Yeah.
And did everybody argue about who their favorite was?
Of course. And then yeah.
All right, you're the boss. Who's your favorite?
Boys to Men.
Boys to Men.
Child of the 90s.
I was going to say, but there's a lot of cliche in that answer, isn't there?
Well,
yeah.
Art imitating life.
Yeah. And again, the high note king here is?
Nick and Jonathan.
Yeah. Nick and Jonathan. Let me tell you, we know who's wearing the tight underpants today, because those guys, Those guys hit notes that only dogs could hear.
Right? Andy Lennox can't hit those notes.
Absolutely. More coming up with these guys. Stand by. We'll have them singing at least a couple more. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 more. They may be here till 1. I'm leaving at 10. It's 9:21. We're back with more coming up on 720 WGN. In the Apple Store, I don't remember if we talked about this on the air or off the air, but the Apple Store apparently is committed to opening sometime before we die.
Oh, good. I hope so.
That's the current construction schedule that they're on.
Because they have the cool laptop on top of the building, which
they put
great.
A laptop top on top of the building for the roof.
Yeah, it looks cool.
And it's got the logo, the Apple logo on it.
It's going to be
at
awesome.
Least according to the shots we're seeing from the newspaper.
We just can't wait for it to open.
We don't know. And then you guys are all excited about the Ulta store opening across.
Oh,
suddenly, I'm the Chamber of Commerce for the city of Chicago.
Totally. We're in North Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, and there's people lined up at the Ulta store. They're but I got to say, I've never seen anybody quite as excited as Dave Ennett about the Ulta store.
Oh, because they're giving out free makeup. They're giving out little gift bags with concealer, a little powder,
Dave,
and blush.
Dave, I just
ran over there.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you
the line was too long.
Oh,
yeah, I didn't get any concealer.
All right, so what makeup are you most excited about, Dave?
Whatever I could get, Steve.
Yeah. Dave, he's a Mac man.
Dave, of course, claims he only wears it on TV, but I think we know what really is going on at the house. Is there anything else we need to cover about Chicago? Oh, yeah, Pride Weekend.
Oh, yeah, Pride Weekend. And parade is on Sunday.
Sunday, we will be obviously in the parade, as we are every year.
Yeah, we have great float.
Are we behind TV this year? Did we change our float position?
Yes, we're behind
Okay, so it'll be TV followed by us.
Right. Last year it was us followed by TV. We swapped places.
And in case you missed it, Andrea, Dave, and Dean, because they do TV and radio, we'll be ziplining between the two floats.
Yes. I think it'd be a nice
as
touch.
The floats go through the route.
It'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. Dangerous. Well, but it's the kind of risk you're willing to take for the audience.
Well, while you're tossing beads to the crowd.
Right.
You know, you got to hold on to the zip line.
That's exactly
right. That's
right. And Bozo will be there.
Bozo's going to be there. Dean, Tom Skilling.
Yes. Tom wouldn't miss it.
No, it's going to be a great time.
And it's great to have Tom there because he brings his Doppler, and I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I'm not even going to say anything.
Yeah. So, you know, but that's the type of thing. If the weather is dicey at all, you just tell Tom to fix it.
And he does?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. All right, 9:26, the Chicago Game and Chorus is here. And Jimmy, what are we playing next?
What Makes You Beautiful by One Direction.
Oh, it's a great song. Great song. One more time here on the kickoff for Pride Weekend. Pride Weekend, I should say. Here's the Chicago Game and Chorus.
Baby, you light up.
as you flip your hair gets me overwhelmed. But when you smile at the ground, it ain't hard to tell.
You don't know.
You don't know you're beautiful. Light up my world like nobody else. The way that you flip your hair gets me overwhelmed. But when you smile at the ground, it ain't hard to tell.
You don't know.
You don't know you're beautiful. If only you saw what I could see, you'd understand why I want you so desperately. And now I'm looking at you and I can't believe you don't know.
How good is that? Woo! Come on. Right? Jimmy, I don't know about you, but these guys are good. Yeah, I'm telling you. Give yourselves a cheap round of applause. Yeah. Come on. You got up early and you're getting it done. All right, more coming up in a little bit. Where are you guys appearing next after the parade?
Our next thing, I'm like, what is Market Days? We're on Market Days on Sunday. One-ish?
August 9th? What is it?
August 9th. So, 12th. Sure.
Okay. Yeah. I'll look
the Sunday of Market Days.
Okay, good.
All right, cool. And again, the website is?
CGMC.org.
CGMC.org. Sponsored by Galena.org. It's time for you to do the big story at exactly 9:30.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself. With a language we all understand.
We continue live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. Wasn't it, was it Monty Python, Finland, the traditional fish slapping song? Wasn't that it? Was that right? Is that right? Joining us in the studio now, Amanda Jackson, Regional Director of Marketing for the incredible Peninsula Hotels. Susan Ellison is a very good friend of mine, has been forever, and I just wanted to say condolences. I know she lost her dad in the last few days. And Susan and all you guys at the Peninsula were nice. Lean right into that mic for me. We're nice enough to help us out with a couple charitable events, and you got plenty to do. You don't need me bothering you. But I asked if you could come over because I just want to say thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us and all of your support over the years.
Well, it's just a very nice thing to do, and it's an amazing property. And you still leave the light on for me?
Absolutely. We've got a light, a robe, slippers waiting.
Right.
Anytime.
Do you remember the robe I got
massage
from...
Massage therapist on call for you.
I do remember
the robe,
that.
The monogram robe I got from the
Peninsula. You wore it to work. It was weird.
I wore it for like a month and a half.
He did.
And then
just let us know when we refresh that. We're ready.
Yeah, and HR said don't do that anymore. Yeah. Give me a couple things you guys are doing this summer.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, I want to say I'm incredibly impressed by the choir here. Kudos.
The Chicago Gay Men's Chorus is as good as
amazing.
It gets at 9 o'clock in the morning or at 9 o'clock at night or any time of the
time. Yeah, our director of catering, actually, Greg Hyder, is also in Gay Men's Choir, and he's a fantastic singer. But even better at decor. So if you stop by Peninsula this weekend, you'll see that we are celebrating Pride. So we've got some gorgeous florals and decor all over the hotel. And we have some fun food and beverage items, too. So we've got a rainbow flatbread, rainbow macaroons. Mm. And for those who'd like to enjoy a cocktail on the terrace, if you stop by Shanghai Terrace, we have some great cocktail selections inspired by the noble flowers of China.
Nice. Mm,
that's a great terrace and a great place. I love one of my favorite places to go for lunch.
Oh, lunch or a drink if you want to go to.
Well,
I'm
having a liquid lunch in David. Yeah.
That's the way to do it. A little dim sum and a cocktail, lychee cocktail.
Kick off the weekend.
And, and you'd enjoy the spa as well.
I know. I've been to the spa.
And if you haven't been recently, we just launched a new line, Biologique Recherche. So it's a French brand. It's all about personalization. The products itself are flying off. I mean, we have people that drive in from the suburbs just to buy the products, and it's absolutely fabulous skincare line. So do stop by the spa.
And stop by the terrace, too.
Men's and women's treatments we have.
So. Sure. And the terrace for the summertime. It's great to go out there on a beautiful night.
Yeah, absolutely. We're always excited to open up Shanghai Terrace in the summer. So great for families or couples. A couple other things for families that we're doing. So we have Camp Peninsula, which we launched this summer. So if your kids aren't going off to summer camp, they can camp right here in Chicago. We offer a package where you can enjoy the second room 50% off. Kids eat free. And then we also set up an adorable little tent in the room. So you might be familiar with
the
term.
How about that? You're not
glamping.
Getting that at every hotel.
It's all about glamping.
Kids get a tent in the room.
Oh, that'd be great.
So you get the tent in the room, and obviously because your kids are going to be having so much fun, you're going to be taking pictures and putting it on Instagram. We're doing a contest this summer, Pen Chi Summer. So P-E-N-C-H-I Summer.
Okay.
And if you post your photos, we'll be giving away some fun prizes like chocolate bar or spa treatments. Couple exciting things we're giving away each week. So,
and what is the Keys to the City program? As I choked to death on my own show.
So Keys to the City is a wonderful program that we actually launched last year when we renovated the hotel. So just this time last year, we completed a renovation of our gorgeous guest rooms, all new outfitted with technology, so tablet technology controls everything in the room. And we wanted the idea of Keys to the City to be that not only does your guest room open a new renovated room, but it opens up doors in the city. So for example, you get certain perks and benefits. So if you do the architecture cruise with Booking by Peninsula, you get a complimentary drink. Or if you want to go to the art museum, you get a fast pass. So all these great little things. And then we have some more exclusive things like Vosges chocolate, which is very popular in Chicago. We'll do a private tour of the factory. So that
that's cool.
My personal favorite, being a chocolate lover.
I gave Susan an idea for the art museum piece. I said, you know, when guests go into the art museum, they should be able to just take a painting.
I love that.
And she said, I don't think that's really what we do.
Yeah, nice idea.
That's why she's good at her job. Yeah.
We can do pretty much anything at Peninsula. That one might be a
little
tougher, but yeah, we try our best.
The coolest thing to do with the Peninsula is if you could, and they're too professional to do this, but if you could take your concierge aside and say, tell me your three favorite stories, because the requests are amazing.
They definitely are. We definitely,
whatever
we've
guessing.
Seen a lot, you know, we could probably write a book, but we always respect the confidentiality of our guests.
Yeah,
there's a lot
to.
Of high
sure.
profile, but sure. certainly our concierge have seen it all.
I'm sure you have a bunch of cool wedding proposals, too, that have taken place there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's becoming more and more popular, especially for proposals. In the winter, we have this gorgeous ice rink. So when the summer terrace is not open, it actually turns into an ice skating rink. And we'll have
Did you know about
this?
No. You can go skating at the Peninsula.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Skating, hot
cool.
chocolate, a little hot toddy, if you'd like that. So we've had a lot of proposals that actually happen out on that ice rink, and it's really
cool.
beautiful.
It's the Peninsula and in Chicago, and obviously around the world. But what's the website you want to send people to?
Peninsula.com/Chicago.
Perfect. Can we congratulate you?
Yes, you can.
She's going to have a baby?
I'm obvious now.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, please. You look fabulous.
Thank you.
And you'll look fabulous forever. Is this a first?
This is my first, yes.
Very
baby
exciting.
Boy on the way.
Lo, you know it's a little boy.
Yes, I do.
Oh, fantastic. Awesome.
And I heard, this might be my outing, I heard there's a producer in the room with a name that I'm...
Yeah, but you don't want us to say the name, right?
That's okay.
That's
we're,
okay.
We're set on it. We're set
Bennett.
On it. Bennett. Could be my
really.
Bennett, I think it's a cool name.
Oh, he's one of our. We
don't like him. The guy that works here. But
see, everybody's
Bennett.
Got a story. This is why you don't share your baby names, because someone says I know a Bennett, but I'm gonna say I know.
Well,
a
it's
Bennett,
a cool name.
A
is it a hot name
a
now?
Cool
or is it somebody you guys knew or were inspired by?
My mother-in-law, who passed sadly, her maiden name was Benetti.
Oh,
so
nice.
We decided to honor her by dropping the I and going with Bennett.
Well, that's nice. You know, it's funny because we adapted for my son. My dad passed a couple of months before my son was born, and wanted to somehow, we knew that Ross was coming along, wanted to somehow name him after my father, but my father's name was Ralph Albert, and I figured he'd be beaten to death on a playground. So we went with the initials R.A. instead. He became Ross Adam.
That's great, yeah.
It's
now
a great compromise.
Honor someone, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thanks to everybody at the Peninsula. You
Thank
guys are
you
a
so
big
much
help
again.
To us, and we
Thanks.
Raised a bunch of money for a couple of really good causes.
Wonderful, thank you.
Thank you. All right. And because you're here, and this is for little Bennett to be, what are you guys going to do next?
Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys.
How perfect is that?
Oh, yeah.
She may go into labor.
Maybe he'll kick a butt. He likes music. Yeah.
All right, here we go.
He'll dance in there.
The Chicago Gay Men's Chorus on 720 WGN on Pride Weekend.
I love the colorful clothes he wears. And the way the sunlight plays upon his hair. Ah, hear the sound of a gentle word on the wind that lifts his perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. He's giving me excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. He's giving me excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. He's giving me excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. He's giving me excitations.
Close my eyes. He's
somehow closer now. Softly smile, I know he must be kind. Another look in his eyes, he goes with me to a blossom world.
I'm picking up good vibrations. He's giving me excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. He's giving me excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. He's giving me excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. He's giving me excitations.
Come on. Woo! Nicely done. Live on CLTV and on 720 WGN. Time for one more from the Chicago Gay Men's Chorus. I hope everybody can make it out to Pride Parade on Sunday. It's always a huge crowd. And Jimmy, if anybody wants to audition, I know you only got 10,000 currently in the chorus. How do they contact you? Through the website?
Through the website. There's a way to sign up for new member auditions, which okay. are in August.
CGMC.org. What's the last song?
Bye, bye, bye. Because...
Bye, bye, bye. Right? Seems right. One more time, and have a great and safe Pride weekend, everybody, if you're attending. Here is the Chicago Gay Men's Chorus.
Another player in your game for two. But it ain't no lie.
I just want to tell you that I had enough.
In this game, what's so crazy about it?
Ain't no lie, baby, bye, 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 bye. I don't really want to make it up. I just want to tell you that I had enough.
In this game, what's so crazy about it?
Ain't no lie, baby, bye, 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 bye.
Bye bye. Bye bye. Bye bye. Great job. Chicago Game Men's Chorus. Back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.